You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Everyone's favorite tournament of the year, the golfers are in Augusta, Georgia to compete for the coveted jacket. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you a shot to land in the green. This week, DraftKings is giving you a free shot at $1 million top prize when you download and sign up using promo code THPN. If you haven't tried DraftKings Daily Fantasy, this is the time. It's easy to play. Pick six golfers, stay under the salary cap, and submit your lineup before the tournament tees off early Thursday morning. Then sit back and follow the action. The more red numbers they have on the leaderboard, the closer you'll be to winning some green. Rack up points for pars, birdies, finishing positions, and more. Even though you may not be able to hit the course with the pros, DraftKings is giving you the chance to scratch your competitive itch and reign supreme. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at the $1 million top prize. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network for Friday, April the 9th. Ian Cameron with you. We are expected to be joined momentarily by Jimmy Murphy. Again, Alex B. Smith is back home tending to a family emergency and a family matter. We offer him our thoughts, our prayers, our well wishes, and we're looking forward to having Alex back on the show next week. We have a Friday NHL card on tap tonight with seven games on the slate scheduled last night, of course. Lots of interesting action taking place. The Boston Bruins with a 4-2 win against Washington, as Jeremy Swayman is definitely causing some people to take notice of him in between the pipes for the Bruins, with obviously Tuukka Rask still out due to injury and Yaroslav Halak on the COVID-19 reserve list. We've seen the Bruins have to go deep into their depth chart with using Daniel Vladar and now, of course, using Jeremy Swayman. And boy, Jeremy Swayman has been very impressive. You got Jimmy Murphy, who's about to join us in just a second, thinking he should stay in the net when Tuukka Rask comes back. I'm not so sure about that. But nevertheless, it's definitely been a very, very good story for him in his first couple games with the Bruins, and a very good performance last night in that 4-2 victory for Boston. The only time Washington scored was with that extended power play time they had with the 5-on-3. That was about it. So a good win there for the Bruins. We saw the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'll give them credit. You talk about a team that didn't take too kindly to getting lit up by the New York Rangers a couple of nights ago. They bounced back in a big way last night with a emphatic revenging victory against the New York Rangers. So give the Penguins a lot of credit for that. The Winnipeg Jets jumping on a Montreal team that played the night before against Toronto. Give them credit as well. They got the early lead and they never looked back. They beat the Montreal Canadiens 4-2. A Winnipeg Jets team that just doesn't get talked about as much as some other teams, and all they do is keep on winning. Paul Maurice with one of the younger blue lines in the NHL, and they just keep finding a way to win. Impressive stuff from them. The Dallas Stars get a much-needed win. Nashville beating up on Detroit last night as well. So a lot of interesting results in the NHL. The New York Islanders, up 2-0 early. Flyers tie it, but the Islanders win in a shootout 3-2 over Philadelphia as they win their first game with their new pieces on the team in their debut with the Islanders, Kyle Palmieri and Travis Ajak. So a lot of interesting games from last night. Jimmy Murphy, who, as you can tell by his background as he joins us, if you're watching the show on YouTube, riding the high off the overtime victory for the UMass Minutemen in the Frozen Four National Semifinals, and they will advance to play in the championship game of the Frozen Four against St. Cloud State. That should be a very fascinating championship game. Welcome aboard, Jimmy, and congrats to UMass. Well done for a short-handed team. Everybody was worried about them, and they still found a way.
You got to love that when you see that, and we've seen it. Obviously, we see it all the time in the NHL is when the sum of the parts come together, they rally around injuries, what have you, and guys step up, and that's exactly what you saw with UMass last night. And a credit to Coach Carvel. Greg Carvel, who I suspect will be an NHL coach, whether that's next season or the season after. Unfortunately for UMass, I don't think his time is long, but he's established a tremendous program there now that I'm sure the people below him will continue once he goes. But yeah, just a great game. I'm riding a lot of caffeine right now, and I hope it doesn't die off here during the show, because that was a late one last night between covering the Bruins and then watching the end of that game. But it was well worth staying up for. Congratulations to UMass there. And as far as, you know, I heard you talking about Jeremy Swayman, and yeah, I tweeted that and caused quite a firestorm amongst a lot of people that, you know what, I don't think this net is Tuukka Rask anymore when he comes back. Will he be given a chance to make it his? Yes, but I don't think in the minds of the Bruins coaching staff and his teammates and management that this is securely Tuukka Rask net anymore. And I'll look back, I'll make a great Boston Sports reference here. And I know it's kind of drawing on something, maybe it's a reach, but you know, a guy gets hurt and he comes back, it doesn't mean it's automatically his position. And we look no further in Boston to something that happened back in 2001. If you remember a guy by the name of Drew Bledsoe, who took a nice hit from Mo Lewis, and that was the beginning of the end for him and the beginning of a dynasty for the New England Patriots as Tom Brady took over there. And I'm not saying that's what Jeremy Swayman's going to do. I'm not putting him on that pedestal right now. But I can tell you surely, there's a lot of question marks, and there has been for a while now, around Tuukka Rask and even now around Jaromír Hlák. So I think that they're going to really give this kid a chance. And as long as he stays hot, they're already starting him again tomorrow. Don't be surprised if sooner or later the baton is passed over to him heading into the playoffs, because the Bruins know this is their last chance at a Stanley Cup with this core. It really is. There's not much longer for Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci and Brad Marchand and even Rask. And if you got a hot hand, you got to ride it. You're dumb not to. And I'll make me even more recent, do some recency bias here and make another comparison. Look at Jordan Binnington 2 years ago. Did anyone see that coming? Did anyone say, you know, when Jake Allen came back that it wasn't his net anymore? No. Jordan Binnington stole that net from him, and I'm seeing that happen right now with Jeremy Swayman. The team is responding better in front of him, so something to keep an eye on as they go forward.
Yeah, that, and you made the key point. I like what you said. You said they'll give at least Tuukka Rask a chance to make it his starting job. They will. They'll give him that chance. However, you know, if he's had a good season. Actually, before he got injured, he was playing pretty well most of the year, Tuukka. I think he's had a solid year. But there's no doubt that you know, if he, whatever reason, the team loses, he stumbles, he's a little bit shaky in a couple games upon his return, it is going to get that whole discussion point about Swayman going all over again. It's going to be ramped up just as much as the vaccine rollout has been ramped up on both sides of the border right now. So definitely something to watch, but he's been good. There's no question. And look, we were just wondering, could he translate the performance in Providence and his great numbers down there to the NHL? And there's always, sometimes some goalies can do that, some goalies can't do that. He's following that Binnington, you know, profile of 2 years ago, where he is, you know, making sure it translates to the NHL with the way he's played so far.
Watch him in game two, Ian, too. And I'll reckon back to Binnington, because I remember doing this, and I saw it firsthand when he basically won that game seven for the St. Louis Blues in Boston in the Cup final. His mannerisms, his demeanor, and his smile. I mean, this kid is having fun out there, even when he's giving up goals. Last night, he tells us after the game, he's like, I gave up a goal to Alexander Ovechkin. Big deal. Who hasn't done that? You know, it's like he's not letting that get him down. He's just like, he's almost honored to say, at least I'm out there taking shots from one of the greatest, if not the greatest, goal scorers ever. And that, it's that I don't know if it's an aloofness. I don't know if it's just who he is, or he's not understanding, or, you know, the magnitude in a negative way of the moment. But that's a scary thought when you're an opponent. When you see a kid smiling at you after you scored on him, you're really thinking, is this guy nuts? What the hell's wrong with him? And it will get in your head. And the more saves he makes, the more it's going to stay in your head. So that's a thing to keep on. And then we talk about live betting all the time. Keep watching the Bruins live betting wise going forward when he starts, because you're going to know if he's on. You're going to be able to tell it in his eyes and tell it in his smile if he's on. And so far he has been.
No doubt. And you know what? I think the Bruins Twitter a long time ago, because I remember seeing it, that said some tweet with him mountain climbing in the winter, dead of winter. So that tells you that maybe there's something. He's probably got that low-key, carefree personality, and that's sometimes good for goalies. They're not going to get rattled. They're not going to get, you know, shaken by anything. So that's a good sign. And talk about teams rallying around a change in net, a young goalie coming in and playing extremely well. It's not like we haven't seen that with a certain Toronto Maple Leafs team right now with Jack Campbell. So, it just goes to show you.
It just shows you too, guys. I mean, for anyone out there, and sorry to drag on about goaltending here, but I mean, for anyone out there knocking teams when a goalie doesn't pan out or crediting them too much when he does, you know, it's just such a fickle position to kind of scout. And we've seen so many guys, you know, come out highly touted and be bust or come out and just never sort of materialize. And then all of a sudden later in their career, Jack Campbell being the perfect example, right? What was he, the 11th overall pick 1 year? In the draft, I think he was up there.
He was, I believe, first round, yes.
Yeah, and now finally, after many years, he's blossoming. And not that Tim Thomas was a huge pick. He wasn't even drafted. Actually, I think he was drafted by the Quebec Nordiques very late in the draft. You'll have to double-check that. But another guy, too. I mean, Tim Thomas didn't make it until he was 35 years old. And then between 35 and 38 years old, you know, he won a Stanley Cup and two Vezina trophies. So, it just shows you never know with goalies.
You hit the nail on the head. 11th pick, 2010, right on the – exactly. That's exactly where Jack Campbell – look at Jimmy Murphy bringing his A game here. Nailed the exact number that Jack Campbell was selected in that 2010 NHL draft for the Dallas Stars, number 11 overall. Yeah, you know what? These situations – we're going to get to Friday's card in just a second. But these situations, actually, the more I think about it, they're eerily similar. The veteran guy, Rask, and now all of a sudden here's Swayman coming in and playing great. The veteran guy, Freddie Anderson in Toronto, out of the mix due to injury. And here comes Jack Campbell sliding in. They've got some questions to answer when Freddie Anderson comes back. Like, what do you do with the goaltending right now? I think they're going to do – both teams are going to give the veteran, Rask and Anderson, the chance with both of these teams when they return. But – I think it could be a shorter leash now with the way Campbell's played for Toronto, and maybe if Swayman keeps this up for Boston.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ian, I'm just going to tell you this too, because I reported this Sunday on Off the Record on Boston Hockey Now, and I'm telling you, it just got re-reported on TSN last night on Insider Trading. I don't know, you know, if there is any leash anymore on Anderson coming back. I think it's Campbell's to lose for the rest of this season because they're looking for a goalie before the trade deadline. They're looking for a goalie that can come in now and back up Jack Campbell. So that shows you where Freddie Anderson is in terms of the depth chart there in Toronto. And that's something to keep an eye on going forward. But yeah, I was right on Timmy Thomas too. Quebec Nordiques, 1994.
There you go. Jimmy Murphy is absolutely acing the NHL draft history trivia, I guess you could say, on this show today. But
God bless the Nordiques, right?
Yes, the Nordiques. And I'm glad Colorado is wearing some of those old Nordique jerseys and the old Nordiques logos this year in some of their games. It's been very nice to see. All right, the Friday NHL card. Let's get into it. We got the Battle of New York here. Rangers, Islanders, both teams in action last night, so it's a back-to-back for both teams. The Islanders minus 135 home favorites, total 5.5, shade to the over. This is a pretty clear pass from a side perspective for me. These are two teams that are bet-on teams for me right now. I don't want to bet against either one. The Islanders do have a better record at back-to-backs than the Rangers do. Rangers are only 1-2, second night of back-to-back games, 4-0-1 for the Islanders this year on the second night of back-to-back games. So they've done very well in this spot. They survive a game from the Flyers last night, win 3-2 in the shootout. First game for Palmieri and Zajac, the new Islanders. Eberle scoring, Beauvillier, Barzal. Now all of a sudden this team's definitely got a little more pop offensively. You might see it here tonight. Alexander Georgiev will be in net tonight for the New York Rangers. Definitely expected because it's a back-to-back, and we saw Shesterkin in net last night for them. It should be Varlamov tonight for the Islanders, you would expect, because Ilya Sorokin was in net. Played pretty well, actually, Ilya Sorokin. One of his better starts in the victory last night against the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm going to go over the total, though, here. Again, the Islanders, I know they've had a couple unders at home recently, but long-term, they've trended over. I think tonight, especially the Rangers, you know, they're still a little bit capable of giving up some goals. The Rangers should be a greater test for the Islanders defensively tonight after what they saw from the Flyers last night. And to be honest with you, Varlamov has been not quite on top of his game as much in his recent starts. So I'm off the side, but I think we can get over this number here, 5.5 here, around -120. Jimmy, what do you think?
Oh, I did it. I'll tell you what, Ian, I really like the under in this game right now. I think the teams, you know, they've been up and down in terms of the over-under there, both teams there. And these are two teams that really go at it when they see each other. So you're either going to get a lot of goals or you're going to get a real tight game. And I'm just feeling the way, or more so where we are in the season right now, how valuable points are. We're starting to see more playoff-style type games. I'm sensing an under here. So give me the under 5.5.
All right, liking the under 5.5 here in this one. And the Islanders certainly are used to that, like those kind of games. We'll see if they get it here. I'm going to give it one more shot here with an Islanders home over. Again, the home games for the Islanders have been the ones trending over. It's been on the road where they've been staying under, although last night, of course, did stay over. It was frustrating that last night stayed under. It was 2-0 early in the game. You think you're looking good, and it ends up 3-2 at the end of it. But Jimmy and I opposing totals views here in this game. Under for Jimmy, over for me. On we go. Pittsburgh, New Jersey. We've got Pittsburgh -175, road favorites, total 5.5, 6 across the board. Let's give the New Jersey Devils credit, though, last night. I know it was only Buffalo, but, you know, with obviously Palmieri and Zajac traded, you know, you figured where's the effort going to come from? Can they dig down and still end up finding ways to put goals on the board and win games? Well, they did last night. Pavel Zacha scoring, Jack Hughes getting involved in the offense, Sharon Govich as well. Those are the guys that are going to have to be catalysts for this New Jersey team offensively here moving forward. They got the win against the Sabres last night. Again, this is another situation where we have both teams playing the second night of back-to-back games. Pittsburgh beating the Rangers last night, and of course the Devils taking care of business against the Sabres. Pittsburgh obviously didn't play well in that 8-4 loss, but bounced back extremely strong last night, 5-2 victory over the New York Rangers. See if they can carry that over. Still a team that's got a lot of injuries, Pittsburgh, no question, with Malkin, with Tanev, Kapanen, and Teddy Bluger, all still out indefinitely. Not sure of an exact timeline yet for their return, but it definitely won't be tonight in this game. So Pittsburgh trying to keep their heads above water and keep themselves, obviously, as one of these playoff teams here with all of these injuries. It's worth noting, second of back-to-back games this year, 2-3 for Pittsburgh, 3-4 for New Jersey. But one thing that does stand out, these two teams are a combined 9-2 to the under on the second night of back-to-back games this season. So that has me leaning under the total. I do think we might get a little bit of a lower scoring game here. I think Pittsburgh kind of wants to commit again, playing better defensively. And look, they're going from the Rangers to the New Jersey Devils. There definitely is an offensive drop-off when you go from the Rangers to playing the Devils. Looks like the goalie matchup tonight, Casey DeSmith in net for the Penguins. It should be Mackenzie Blackwood for New Jersey. DeSmith's been good. You know, DeSmith's been solid his last few games. He's had the odd rough go, but again, this is not exactly a explosive New Jersey offense. So I think it's a matchup for DeSmith. He can step in, play well. I lean to Pittsburgh in regulation too, but I'm going to stay off that and lean under. I'm off the game entirely, but I'll lean Pittsburgh in regulation and I'll lean to the under as well. Jimmy, what do you think here? Pittsburgh, New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite way again here, Ian. I like a lot of goals in this one. Some tired legs maybe for these guys as they go into this game. So give me the over in this game as an official play.
All right, Jimmy liking the Pittsburgh, New Jersey over 5.5. There are some 5.5s out there at a couple spots, sixes elsewhere. So depending on whether you like the under or the over, make sure you look around and see what the best number you can get for that. Washington and Buffalo, we've got the Capitals -250 to -280 road favorites here. The total six across the board. Once again, you've got teams that are on the second of back-to-back games. It's definitely a trend when it comes to these games tonight, especially the teams in the eastern part of the country, or the eastern half of the continent, I should say. Washington, a 4-2 loss to Boston last night, back-to-back losses for them. There's certainly going to be looking to bounce back here against the Sabres, who dropped a 6-3 decision to the Devils last night. Capitals had their chances, but again, as we talked about, the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman doing a good job defensively against this Capitals team. And really, if not for the extended power play time that Washington got in the second period, they may not have found their offense at all in that game. Washington is outstanding on the second night of back-to-back games, 6-1 this season on the second night of back-to-back games, 2-0 off a loss on a back-to-back. Buffalo just 1-9 on the second night of back-to-back games. So there is a huge disparity in terms of the success of these two teams on the back-to-back. This one, like, over the total here, because Buffalo's hemorrhaging goals. They definitely are. When you're giving up 5 goals to New Jersey, that's not really a good sign, in my opinion. I think Washington, it's time for Washington's offense, I think, to explode. I think they'll do that. And I'm noticing a trend, too, with Washington. They play teams like New Jersey, Buffalo, teams out of it. They play a little bit loosey-goosey, up and down. They played a 5-4 game with New Jersey over the weekend. I think they'll score a bunch. And hey, look at Buffalo. You know, they are still finding the back of the net. Their offense is still, you know, it's amazing. Take Taylor Hall out, you're actually maybe a better offensive team. We're kind of seeing that right now with the Buffalo Sabres. So I think they can chip in here some goals as well against Vitek Vanacek and the Capitals. I'm still not liking Jimmy, and I said it yesterday. They're giving up too many chances. There's too many good looks that Washington is allowing right now. And I think Buffalo can capitalize. So I like the over here with the Capitals and the Sabres.
Yeah, you know what, Ian, I'm right with you on this. I agree with you. Watching that game closely last night, obviously I watched all the Bruins games twice. So even this morning, they're giving up tons of gift wrap chances right now. And, you know, I know the opponent isn't exactly the type of team that can – they're more the type of team that would hand back a free gift if you try to force it on them. But at the same time, I mean, there's something off with Washington right now. It's really interesting. Now, you know, we've seen them kind of go in different directions this season where maybe they were trying to adapt their coaches, Laviolette, his sort of up-tempo style. But then at the same time, they pulled it back and got more conservative. And they seem to be having an identity crisis right now as we go down the stretch run. So I don't like that going forward with Washington. I think they're a bet against team right now. But I'm going to stay with the total here and go over as well.
Yeah, I think Washington's big guns, they should be able to score here against the Sabres. No question about that. Tokarski in net, he did have a good start his last time out, but before that, he kind of struggled. I'm not sold on him here against Washington. And, the Sabres, though, again, even without, you know, look at the guys they're without. We know they've been without Eichel forever. You know, Taylor Hall out now and Dylan Cousins out. But, you know, Sam Reinhart's been good. He's chipped in lately. Tage Thompson has stepped it up. Victor Olofsson and Casey Mittelstadt as well for the Sabres. I'm seeing him scoring goals in a lot of games recently for Buffalo as well. So that's where the offense is coming from. If you want to look at a goal scoring props here with Buffalo, those are the guys. Olofsson, Mittelstadt, Tage Thompson. Look at some of these guys because they've now scored multiple games lately for this Sabres team. And look, the effort, I think, has been commendable under Don Granato. They didn't play great defensively last night, but it wasn't a lack of effort. It was just some breakdowns. And unfortunately, that's going to happen with Buffalo. It wasn't a lack of effort, but you've seen them have that work ethic for the most part under Don Granato, which has been good to see for a team that was just, it seemed listless, you know, and lethargic and lifeless for a long period of time. Minnesota Wild, St. Louis Blues. We've got even money here, -110 both sides. A total 5.5 shaded to the under in this game. The St. Louis Blues, really, really struggling, but they sort of got reprimanded by Craig Berube prior to the second of the two games against Vegas, and they did respond with a much better game against Vegas, getting the victory the other night. But they're going to have to show me more, St. Louis. You know, one game after you know, the coach kind of lights into you. That's one thing. Can you keep it going? No. For the next game after that, that still remains the question mark for me. And the St. Louis Blues, I've talked ad nauseum that their advanced numbers do not look good recently in terms of the defensive chances they've allowed. They've just not done as well at that end of the ice. You can't like that they gave up 51 shots on goal out of the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. It was finally one of the best, it might have been, probably was the best start of the season in net for Jordan Binnington. He was very good in that game against the Vegas Golden Knights the other night, preserving the 3-1 victory for the St. Louis Blues. But, you know, there's definitely some issues I've got here with this St. Louis team. You know, they're still only 1-7 in their last 8 games overall. That isn't very good. You look at their recent track record off a victory, not exactly something to write home about. They haven't gone on those extended win streaks by any stretch of the imagination this year. That worries me a little bit going into this game. Yeah, Binnington was outstanding. Yeah, they played a little bit better defensively, but I'm not ready to buy into St. Louis just yet until they show it to me again. Minnesota lost a tough one to Colorado in the first game, 5-4. Give them credit. They finally wanted to show Colorado in that last game that, hey, you know, we're sick of you running over us. We're going to show up. We're going to have a good, solid game. And they exploded offensively. The power play was on fire in that win against Colorado. You know, you saw multiple Wild finding the back of the net in that game. 5-on-5 power play, outstanding in that particular game. I've talked about at times Minnesota's not been consistent on the road. You know, they had the 2 losses to San Jose, which you can't scratch your head. What the hell happened? And yet they came right back and they beat Vegas 2 games in a row on the road. I still think Minnesota's a better hockey team right now. I'm taking them here at around even money, -105, -110. I'm going to dare the Blues to show it one more time.